long as we've been together. That should be so easy to do. Just get yourself together.
Trumpeter Kenny Dorm opens Aphrodisia, and a bunch of other legends jump in. J.J. Johnson on trombone, Hank Mobley on tenor sax, Cecil Payne on baritone sax, Horace Silver on piano, Oscar Pettiford on bass, Art Blakey on drums, Carlos Patato Valdez on congas, and Richie Goldberg on cowbell. This is from Dorm's 1955 album, Afro-Cuban. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday. What a week we've had. And it isn't over. It keeps going and going and going and getting more and more ridiculous by the day. We have a budding feud. It's going to get into a full-blown confrontation between Donald Trump and Republicans. We're seeing the international community acting or reacting with dismay as to about how single-handedly Donald Trump has caused this much destruction all over the world. And we having at home questions about, now people are raising questions, legislators are raising questions about whether it's time to put before the people the quagmire of Donald Trump's mental health. But whichever way it goes, it's going, and our task still is to keep our heads screwed on right, and to figure out what's our next move, not his. What's our next move? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And I'm hoping that you have some opinions. That's what we're looking for, your opinion about things. If you've been following the conversation that we've been having all week, one of the things that you should have picked up is the insistence that you do a heck of a lot of thinking. Don't let people tell you what to think. The media, they have their own agenda, and they're not necessarily smarter than the rest of us. So what you do is you take your time, you really systematically analyze what's going on, and you can see your way to a very smart conclusion. So that's the salvation for us, is doing really good thinking. From New York, Jay, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Eutrice. I hope you are doing well.
Thank you. I hope the same for you.
Yes. First things first, earlier this week, you had asked the first question of the week in regards to what did one, I think, take from the presentation of the Donald Trump media coverage. And am I right or wrong, because I don't remember, you said that there was no participation of people of color. Was that it? One of the
we
things
saw
you observed?
Very, very little. Very little, if any. And that was a very significant aspect of the coverage.
Well, what I've noticed all throughout the coverage is a lack of participation of people of color, but a weak analysis also by people of color in regards to when they discuss it. You know what I mean? It's really never about the reasoning behind his behavior. It's always in the narrative that if you would have voted Democratic, or if you now vote Democratic, it will solve the problem, which to me is just nonsense, honestly. My whole thing in regards to this Trump thing, it seems to me, and I don't know what one's real feeling is or if anyone has really put it into context, is the narrative is now starting to become that Russia has something over Donald Trump, so that this is the reason why he's acting, as some would say, in collusion with Russia and doing what, you know, it seems Putin wants him to do. I don't know how true that is. The thing
well,
that
we don't, none of us knows how true any of this is. But the only thing we can do is surmise, based on what is being offered as information and coverage. We have to make sense of the information. You will have to be prepared to throw some of the stuff out and to work with the rest that is left and come to your own conclusions.
But this is what my issue is. I take issue with the manner, honestly, that the so-called Republicans are behaving in it. Because we are quite clear that if Obama was in office and was doing these things, it would be holy hell on their part. But it seems like they're not putting anything forward to question this man, to try to rein him in, to try to show some sort of moral authority as the so-called leaders of
but
the
country.
But
that's not only applicable to the Republicans.
No. Listen to my point. You got to listen to my point. My point is, I understand that, but the behavior that they have shown towards Democrats, when Democrats had supposedly acted in the same manner, it's frightening, because you would expect for them and also for the Democrats to collectively come together and put some sort of pressure to make this man act and behave in a certain fashion that's benefiting the country. I mean, I don't care one way or another, honestly, because I'm a true believer is that this is white folks' business. I'm going to be honest with you. It's not something
Here's
that me, as someone looking
you know,
for
the
sovereignty,
Democrats in this situation where you have a crisis of leadership, it is across the board. Democrats, Republicans, progressives, it's all across the board. People have just fallen down on what the popular notion would be of courageous leadership. And they have let this situation reach a point where they don't even know where to start, and they don't have the power. They haven't organized their constituencies. They don't know, you know, which point to tackle first. And they're all similarly affected. It's not the Democrats and the Republicans. It's the whole system. The whole system. They've had ample time and this is something I've been talking about for quite some time, to organize their respective communities with an eye toward what? Survival. Now, when we have this quarrel going on, this big fight going on, in the middle of it, you notice that it is still the people who suffer. We have no way to influence any of this. We don't know what buttons to press anymore. They're not listening. And they're not willing to understand that there's a reason they're elected. And they're elected to represent the interests of the people. They all decided to run for the tall grass, to hide, until this thing blows over. All this time that the Democrats should have had a comprehensive response to the predictable approach that Donald Trump was taking and would continue to take in terms of leadership, they haven't come up with anything. Not a single thing. So
they have no plan or no agenda. You have to have a plan or agenda to come up with something, you trees. Neither one of them have a plan to move the country forward.
That's my point. And we accept it. That's my point. They don't have a plan.
So if that's,
they haven't been doing their work. And we accept it. We accept this as the leadership we are supposedly entitled to. So all around, you can't take a position, really, because everybody is in one way or the other accountable for this mess. I've been since day one, and the record reflects it, I have said there's something wrong with this man. Since day one, I didn't hold it back. I didn't, I wasn't very careful about offending anybody. No, it's what we see. I have kept repeating that there's something wrong with this man, and we better start thinking about how we deal with an out of control leader who is going to be who, as the titular head of the Republican Party, is nonetheless in charge of policies in this country.
You Treese, I'll leave you with this. This man is going to do whatever he wants to, whatever he feels like doing, until the day that he leaves office, and there's going to be no pushback from the Democrats or the Republicans. The only hope for the Democrats is that they win back the House or the Senate, and then they may be able to give a little bit of a pushback. But
I am not the least bit interested anymore in the Democratic Party. I cut ties with that party 20 years ago because it was making no sense. The Democratic Party wasn't acting like it understood its purpose and to whom it was accountable. I stopped voting completely. It's a useless, meaningless exercise. So the concentration instead is structuring to the best of your ability your own survival. Because these people are not thinking about the survival of hundreds of millions of people. They're thinking about, well, if they work it right, and even Trump, from the top to the bottom, if they have to work it so that if they get out of office after only one term, they would have secured the financial stability of their grandchildren and great-grandchildren. They would have accumulated the kind of wealth that would be passive profits for them in the future. That's what they're thinking about. I would be crazy, and people would be crazy, to jump into a system that that has a predatory relationship and outlook with regard to the general population that supposedly they're looking for support from. No, I'm done with that. Get real and start taking an entirely different approach to politics. Politics is not about the Democratic Party and the Republican Party and the Green Party. That's not politics. Politics is about your survival. And if people want to ignore that, they do so at their own peril. So a long time ago, I cut out. I refuse to be a pawn in this game. They have no intention of taking stock of really why they exist and what they ought to be doing. They have no intention of fixing things. They have decided, like, I mean, just like any other party, the outlook is the same. What's in it for me? And if I can't find anything in it for me, I'll move on. Well, I take the same attitude. I don't see politics delivering much for the people. And therefore, the people ought to remove themselves from this process and come up with something new. Instead of going through cycle after cycle after cycle of being abused and beaten up, this is crazy. So I'm looking to the people. What have you come up with, or what have we come up with as a healthy, workable alternative to this insanity that we are enmeshed in? Thanks for your call, Jay. Harvey from Berkeley, you're on the air.
Hello, wonderful you, Trees.
Hello, Harvey. How are you doing?
Very good. I'd like to talk about something I call solar electric greenhouses that harvest their own water. It turns out that today they make glass that harvests electricity from the sun. They put a photovoltaic material on or between sheets of glass, and when the sunlight passes through it, it turns the sunlight directly into electricity. And I thought, what a great idea. They can make greenhouses out of solar electric glass, or PV glass, photovoltaic glass, as they call it. And so the solar electric greenhouses can harvest water directly from the air. The electricity generated by the greenhouse, by the solar electric glass, can be used to power what they call water harvesting devices. It's something like dehumidifiers, basically. That's, you know, that pull water out of the air and dehumidify rooms. And so this water can be used to drip irrigate food or plants in the solar electric greenhouse. And these structures can be placed on top of buildings in cities. Because I feel with climate destabilization, we can't rely necessarily on the systems that are in place, because there could be drought, like in California or in other places around the world. So we have to rely more on making sure that we have a good supply of food wherever we are. And also, food is trucked around America a lot. So you know, the food on your table may be 2 weeks old. It may be grown in one place and trucked and stored, and then finally when you get it, it's not that fresh. But if we have solar electric greenhouses that harvest their own water from the atmosphere and grow fresh organic foods, we can be sure that the food we're eating is highly nutritious, and at the same time, secure our food resources in the future. So these can, as I say, these can be placed on top of apartment buildings, shopping centers, schools, hospitals, anywhere where there are large buildings, and they don't need any plumbing because, again, they harvest their own water from the atmosphere directly and use it. And also, any extra electricity produced by the solar electric greenhouses can be stored in batteries or sold to the local electric grid, also to generate other income, additional income. So that's just an idea I have for making sure that we all have an adequate fresh organic food supply, both now and into the future, because extreme climate change might change our food resources, and then we'll all be in trouble. So it's a security move. So it's solar electric greenhouses that harvest water from the atmosphere.
It's a good idea. Thanks, Harvey. You always present to us some ideas worth considering and putting into action as well. Jeff from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hi, is it on the trees? I hope everything is well down there.
Okay. Hanging in.
Good. Keep hanging in, because if you hang out, they might arrest you. When I become president, Harvey is going to be my man. He's going to be he's going to be the secretary for the interior. Yeah. So we're going to keep in contact with Harvey, who's a brilliant guy. We have to understand that the earth was given everything we ever needed to survive. And he is absolutely right when he says that climate change is going to change our food supply, change our water supply. So when you're talking about survival and that they don't really care about our survival, and that's absolutely true. And that began, I guess, with Dick Gephardt and the election of Bill Clinton into the presidency way back when, because then those Democrats became corporate Democrats, and they stopped fighting for the people, or being at least having some lip service for the people and giving us a couple of crumbs. But they started being about themselves. And I find that, you know, when I went to college back in 83, that the people who were looking to be leaders were just the type of people that we have now. And that is that they were looking for the title. They were looking to sound smart. They weren't necessarily that smart or inventive, but they looked to follow a narrative to go along and get along. And that part of it now is we'll go along with the businesses, and we'll go along and we'll give them what they need, what they want, so that, you know, in the end, like you said, when I leave this office after a year, I can supply my kids and my grandkids and smoke a cigar and act like I did something really big. And basically what you did was just line your own pocket. And, you know, so, yes, we do need to scrap these capitalistic, non-democratic system that we're in, and become more self-sufficient, doing the things like Harvey said to do, which is, you know, we need to start with the dirt. And we start with the dirt, we start to grow our own food, we start to make sure that we have water. And if your town is not loaded with water, then, you know, we get on the board and we push for those things to make sure that there's water, that there's going to be necessary supplies. We need to prepare for the absolute worst that could happen. So, you know, like I said, getting involved, you know, locally and starting things locally for survival, not for laws and rights and stuff. We need to do things to secure our food and our water and just safety in general from this, the weather change. But I want to say also, you have to let the people know in New York, when you're having a technical problem, that they can't play Teddy Pendergrass before your show, because it just messed everybody up. I think it was either turn out the lights or close the door. Either way, you know, I got my suitcase together. I was going to go down to Florida. So.
He will certainly upset the flow.
yeah,
that's for sure.
He put the flow in another direction. So, you know. You got to watch it with you. You can't do that. You know, just keep it business. Keep it business. But anyway, that's what I wanted to say. And thank you for this forum, because it has helped people. You know, I see the people here, you know, thinking and seeing things. And it makes you feel that you're not alone in what you see and what you observe. And that, you know what, we have some power in numbers. So when we get the survival thing down, we can go back and then begin to run and rule like it's supposed to be ruled, for the people and by the people.
And this is why I'm so pleased that we have access to a station like this, where you should feel very comfortable about occupying intellectual space. This is the one thing that they do. They shove you out of it, and you have no choice but to adopt the plan as your plan. And they're not the same thing at all, and they've never been. So the more we begin to talk, the more that we give ourselves permission to express ourselves. And it's not about whether you're right or you're wrong. It's about finding a way within yourself. And you're perfectly equipped, as we are, to begin that process of tapping into the knowledge and experience and the natural intellect that we have to come up with ideas and then to put them into action. But we first have to be comfortable with the idea of talking to each other, which is very, very important. Thanks so much for your call today. Let's go to Oklahoma next. Andrew, you're on the air. Hello, Andrew.
This is Edgar.
Yes, you're on the air.
Okay. I listened to that fellow earlier about, he was kind of hysterical about what are we going to do about Mr. Trump, President Trump, which he's the president for all of us, not just a little minority group, all of us. And I've been a Democrat all my life. And I see that these liars and crooks in Washington are all raising Cain, including all the media. And to me, that's a good thing. That means he's stirring things up and getting things done. Did this fellow that was hysterical about whatever, what did he lose? What has President Trump done to him? What I hear all these people talk about President Trump and what he's done, but what has he done personally to them? Does that make sense? I want to know,
well,
they get on the air.
Let's take that question. Let's look at that question. President Trump, I agree with you, is an unusual person. He has come into office on the strength of that. That's what he marketed. That was one of the main points that he made. He was unusual. He could be counted to be something entirely different because that's what the country needed. But that's on one hand. What we see, though, and it's disturbing, it's beyond disturbing. In some cases, it's downright terrifying. The president doesn't seem to understand what a president is supposed to do. And he doesn't seem to understand what the presidency is. It is not that he is president. It is that we have a president who understands what this term democracy means. You don't get to do whatever it is you want to do because you're elected president. You don't so openly despise the idea that you should be accountable to the people. And that is the direction in not only that he's headed in, he intends to continue to head in that direction. That is the very opposite of what the president of the United States ought to be thinking and doing.
Well,
he doesn't consult with his cabinet. He does not consult with members of Congress. In fact, he openly despises them and heaps all kinds of insults on them. How do you expect to run a country which is already fragmented? You create further fragmentation, but what is particularly concerning about President Trump is that he doesn't understand. what he ought to be doing as president. It's not your personal property. The country is not your personal property to do with whatever it is you wish to do with.
Utrecht, I don't see it that way. He has had nothing but avalanche of media and crap from every side. I wouldn't blame him if he didn't talk to any of those guys, even on both sides of the aisle. I'm telling you, you know, if we come together instead of following these sheeple media and be a sheeple yourself, then all come together because he's the president of the United States in America. If we all came together and worked together to accomplish something, like he is accomplishing a lot with the economy, nobody ever says anything positive about any of that.
Let's take a look at that very assertion that you just made, that he's accomplished a lot with the economy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do you know
how long has he been in office?
How do you know that he has accomplished a lot with the economy?
Well, if you believe in the information that they spew out, regardless of whether you're Democrat or Republican or liberal, if you believe in the information, then it looks like it's going in the right direction. And nobody can argue with that.
You see, if you read, because I pay attention to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and I've been doing that for years, there's nothing that indicates that the economy for several sectors of our country, that
jobs,
nothing has happened
for
them.
No more jobs or what, you know. Anyway, that's the key right there, Utrecht. I've been listening to you for a while,
I
admire you a lot.
People are saying the economy is doing great. Well, of course, you would say the economy is doing great. You have a vested interest in this kind of propaganda to say the economy is doing great. But when you study the figures, you see that the economy is doing great for a certain fraction of America. The vast majority of America isn't doing great. That's a problem. And there are facts to show that. It isn't doing great for people of color. It isn't doing great for people who have part-time jobs. It isn't doing great for people who have to... Look, they just did a pass the thing about they don't even want to give waiters their tips.
That's not Trump's fault. They got the money. It's mostly the ones that got the...
The Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Most of the people that are not giving the tips.
Here's the thing that we need to do. I understand that people would have, one way or the other, an emotional investment in the discussion. You would be either very pro-Trump or you're very not. But to me, it is immaterial whether you're pro-Trump or anti-Trump. You look at the numbers, and the numbers tell you whether you're doing well or not.
The truth. And my grandpa was a Democrat, long life farmer from across the ocean, and he voted for Eisenhower because he was the best man. And that's the way our family's been. But I appreciate your candid opinion and everything. And I just wanted to call in. I don't call in much to any shows, and I'm not emotionally Democrat or Republican. They're all a bunch of, like Gary said, they're all a bunch of, you know, I don't even want to say it, but I see the good stuff that Trump's doing, not because I'm listening to these bunch of sheeple media. I used to watch CNN, and they make me want to throw up.
This is one of the things, you know, a lot of the people in the media themselves aren't qualified to be the people telling the story. They don't research.
That's right. You
pass
think
on
yourself,
the opinions
man.
That they're told to pass on. Well, I enjoy talking with you, and I'm glad that you called in, and I'm glad that you were able to share your point of view. And we should continue our discussion. We really should. Thanks, Andrew, for calling in today. Mitch from New York, you're on the air.
Hello. Good afternoon, Nutrice. How are you today?
Good. I'm hanging in.
All right. You know, I listen to a lot of programs, talk programs, and I hear things that kind of disturb me. You know, nobody, if the easiest thing for a person to do is to walk away from something. I mean, if you're not satisfied with the political system, the way it's going, I would like to hear more people say, let's get organized, instead of, I don't want to get involved with it. It ain't working for me. It hasn't worked for me in a long time. I would like for people to start saying, okay, it's not working for me. I've got people that I'm looking out for, like children, relatives, my grandkids. So I'm going to make it better for them. And rather than walk away, I would like for people to start saying, let's get organized. I mean, in my community, we started a little political organization. And it wasn't many of us, maybe 10. But, you know, we would meet every week and we would sit down and we would talk about the what's going on in the city council and in the government. And, you know, if things came up that we wanted to talk about, we'd call up the city council person. Hey, we want to talk, we want to have a conversation with you about certain items. We started a little newsletter, and if things weren't working, if we had questions about something and not getting any response, we'd stand out by the subways and give out our little newsletter and tell people what was going on. And eventually, they started calling us, asking us, hey, what is this all about? You know, but man, let's start talking about this. You know, people, especially when we have bully pulpits, you know, we have to tell people to get organized because we're not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. My children, they're not going anywhere. But I would like to have a better environment for them and their kids. So that's all I got to say.
Well, I agree with you, and that's the point of survival. Nothing would happen if you didn't survive. And if there's something, if you are destined to play the role or to be a leader in the sense of bringing people together and so forth, it is extremely important that you survive. If you don't survive, this wouldn't happen. And I'm not trying to be dramatic here. This is a practical matter. And this is the lesson we should have learned by now from our ancestors. Their whole focus. Sure, the world was doing A and B and C, but it had nothing to do with their survival. So they had to put together something that could reasonably assure their survival. If they don't survive, they can't pass anything on. They can't advocate for other people. So they have to make a tough decision. Do you, for the sake of things, do you go along with the process knowing that you're wasting your time and good energy and your intellect, and you are missing your calling? Your calling is to survive so that you can assure the survival of others. That's what I'm talking about. That's one lesson that we should learn from our own ancestors. That's what they did.
Well, I'm not speaking of my survival. I don't speak of when I speak of the entire group. you know, the entire family. You know, everybody wants to, like Martin Luther King says, everybody wants to live a long, beautiful life. Everybody wants. But, you know, when change has to be made, and you see where change have to, you see where you can make a difference, then you step out and you make, you put your foot forward and try to make a difference. You don't want to just say, well, forget about it, let somebody else do it.
No, you don't leave it to somebody else. You don't. But the whole notion of survival itself has to be redefined. People think of it as a selfish act. It is not about being selfish. It's about being working smarter and working in a deliberate fashion to achieve certain results, because we're running out of time. We've run out of resources. We're running out of time. And so we have to approach this business of day-to-day living, i.e. politics, very differently. I was reading a story today in the paper about a little community in Miami, a very tiny community. And they systematically emptied the community. And now, what do you think is the average tax bill on people's homes? $100,000 a year. So you know what that means. It's the gradual emptying of a neighborhood. Nobody I know could pay $100,000 a year in real estate taxes. But if we approached things differently years ago, when we saw the trend, when we noticed the trend, and you interceded to arrest it, it's a little community of about less than 100 homes. But the super wealthy want it. And now they have it. So we have to work smarter. That's all I'm saying. Redefine the way we do things and the way we think about things, so that we don't...
That's the point of organizing, you know. You sit together,
yes.
People organizing to, you know, to effect change. You sit down, you get the groups get together, and you meet community groups or tenant organizations or whatever. You get together once a month and once a week, and you talk about what's going on in the building, what's going on in the community, what's going on in the government, and how can we make the change.
I'm with you there. But I also say that we are very close to passing the point in which, you know, we have to move beyond talking. We have to put together plans of action that are different, because our situation is different. It's not the same at all. I just commented last week about a ruling, a federal ruling. I was talking about it in the context of people are so anxiety-ridden over the U.S. Supreme Court. I said, it's at the local courts where we're being slaughtered. We had a ruling that says, when people are fighting to improve educational services, a federal court ruled that black children, the state is not responsible for educating black children. It is not responsible for children's literacy. Right? So these are the kinds of things that are happening right before our eyes. We've got to get hip to what the intention is, and to be far more energized in being proactive rather than reactive. That's all I'm saying.
That's true. Yes, ma'am. All right. Thank you for your call.
Thank you. Thank you, Mitch. Thanks for your call. Lincoln from Mount Vernon, you're on the air.
Hey, Eugene.
Hello.
Long time.
Well, it's good to talk with you.
Yeah. I have a little bit of a different take on the Donald Trump situation. And I think a lot of knee-jerk reaction is occurring. I think that we are no more at the brink with Donald Trump than we were with previous people. We were at the brink when the Obama administration had tried to bring about the destabilization of the Ukraine government and the Crimea situation. And I think that when catastrophe hits other places and millions of people are dying in other places, we do not behave like we're on the brink. I think we behave like the family of the mafia. They're eating well, they're living in good neighborhoods, but while they're living in good neighborhoods, the mafiosos, they are orchestrating, you know, they're setting out hits and killing people. And so the families of the mafia are living good because of the wickedness of the mafia. In America, life was seeming like everything was going good, but while it was seeming like that, a million people died in Iraq because of the lies of Bush and gang. And we had Zelaya's being overthrown in Honduras, and Hillary Clinton supported it. We had the orchestration to overthrow Hugo Chavez, who was working for the good of the people, of the poor. The good of the poor. We have been having Fidel Castro at the time, who was working for the good of the people, yet his government was being attacked. So we were always on the brink. War, 7 million people, over 7 million people die in the Congo. And yet when 20-something people die in France, etc., or Belgium, we act like the world is coming to an end. So the world is coming to an end, and it's at the brink whenever it's here, just like the response to 9/11. The response to 9/11 was so much greater than the response to 3 million people, innocent people killed in Vietnam. Now, coming back to, so Donald Trump is just bringing all this home to us. It's like Malcolm X said, chicken coming home to roost. And our response to Donald Trump, and I think you, Treith, I love you very much, but we have to be very careful. Our response to Donald Trump versus our response to the wickedness in the world that America have created shows how self-centered we are, even we, the so-called enlightened people. Look how we get bent out of shape over what Donald Trump is doing. How come we were not as bent out of shape over a million deaths of Iraqi like we are about Donald Trump? Donald Trump has yet to cause a million deaths in the world. And, you know, if Obama and Hillary caused the complete destruction of Libya, thousands of people dead in Libya because of Obama and Hillary. But yet we are not bent out of shape. You know, I mean, think of that. We're not talking about millions of flies these people caused to die. We're talking about human beings. And we're acting like nothing happened. But now that it has hit home and Donald Trump is a little bit wacky, we are now all nervous. Why? Why weren't we nervous at the death of these other millions? Now, coming back to Donald Trump, we must be careful about how that this political manipulation that's going on. And I'm going to show you something. The Democratic Party and the Hillarys and the Obamas are so wicked. Just imagine this. The best thing Donald Trump said, and don't misunderstand me, and I shouldn't have to say this. I'm not a Donald Trump supporter, but I'm one who tried to look at things objectively. Just think of this. The best thing Donald Trump tried to do was to have good relationship with Russia. How wonderful that would be. That is what would prevent us from going to the brink, because these are the two countries with the most, greatest amount of atomic energy that could wipe us out completely. And look what they're doing. They're fanning the flames of discontent between Russia and America. And all of the people, they're running around saying, Russian collusion, without any proof. And this is all
but
because
then,
they will do...
But don't you realize, though, that you're contradicting yourself?
How?
Because this rapprochement that you envision that would bring about all these good things between the United States and Russia, I suppose you think the same way of the United States working better with China, working better with North Korea. These people are also tyrants.
No,
they're
no,
killing people.
Me.
They
yes,
killed
yes.
millions of people.
I'm not saying that they're not tyrants. That's not what I was saying. I'm not saying that they're not tyrants. However,
well, that's
fire,
the whole point. The point is, if
no,
you're talking...
No, fire with fire, two wrongs don't make a right. If we put fire
no.
with fire, it's like they're saying a soft answer, turn it away, rot. So because
yes, but
those...
you're misunderstanding the point about Trump. And
no, I'm not misunderstanding the point about Trump.
Hmm? Yes,
I am not misunderstanding the point about Trump.
Trump,
hello?
The reason that people are having difficulty with Donald Trump is that they see the direction in which he's going. Donald Trump does not intend to be a Democratic president. He is intending...
Was Bush a Democratic president when he took it upon himself to go without...
This is a false argument. We're talking Trump. Let's talk Trump.
No, we have to put
because
things in
all
historical
of them,
context.
All of them. But in that case, all of them are similarly worthy of condemnation. Whether it's
yeah,
Bush,
course, of course.
Obama, George H.W. Bush, George W. Bush, they all do the same thing. This is the whole
right.
point.
Right. Trump is just more outright
least,
with it.
At least one of the small bits of protection that we had as citizens, and in that sense, the small bit of protection that other people all over the world had was that these presidents, as evil as they were, as warmongering as they were, they at least tempered their desire to be king of the world. This is not the case with Donald Trump. Donald Trump is well on his way to being, in his head, king of the world. When you're not listening even to your cabinet that you put in place, you're not listening to your people who are advising you on national security. You're not listening. You're disparaging even your allies, and you're reacting in a way and acting in a way that would cause any reasonably minded person to be very concerned. You're not acting like a president who understands the word democracy. You are
so,
a super
So you trees. What you are saying then, it's okay for them to act like they support democracy while they murder millions. That is contradictory, you trees. And that
nope.
is even more that is even more
how,
evil.
How
it is more evil to act
that they should have the right to kill millions of people. I mean that is a way out there. That doesn't
no,
even belong in the conversation.
Eutrees, listen to what I'm saying. What I'm saying, look at what... Hello, Eutrees?
Yes, I'm listening.
Look at when Donald Trump dropped that mother of all bombs, right? That bomb have a mile radius. Donald Trump was praised by both Democrats and Republicans when he dropped that bomb. And not one person said... What was the collateral damage of that bomb? How many people? You didn't hear one word about how many people. And someone must have died from a bomb that covered a mile radius. No one. Imagine.
That very example is the first inkling of how dangerous
no,
the president
that's not
is.
True. It shows how dangerous the people of the country are because they supported him when he did that.
The people
hello?
Have no power to determine whether bombs are dropped.
The people supported that. The very people who are critical of him supported that.
No, there are people who supported it, and you should be at least fair enough to say there were many, many, many people who did not.
It was not as vociferous as the forces against him when he did silly things. It wasn't.
Well, here's the thing. In the course of events, here's a new president, a brand new president, who signaled his intention and signaled the path that he will choose when he dropped the mother of all bombs. Okay. But he was not the only president to have done that. He's not the first president to have done that.
He had just come in. He didn't know it. No one knew. I didn't even know there was such a bomb as the mother of all bombs. Therefore, that means that it was not his decision. He was told to do this by the very people we want him to listen to.
Well, we're discussing bombs. I'm not discussing bombs because every president would be guilty of that. And I accept that. Every president, in one way or the other, has made what I consider to be inhumane decisions about the use of extreme force. There's no arguing about that. Every single one of them. What we're talking about is, do we tolerate a president? What do we do as the people about a president who is showing more and more day by day that he intends, he has a vision. It does not include us. He has a vision that he has been ordained, divinely ordained perhaps, to occupy his office and to do whatever it is he wants to do.
When you want to hear my response to that? Hello? Ruchus. My response to that?
Yes.
Is this.
Quickly, because we're running out of time.
Instead of focusing on Donald Trump, let's focus on changing the system. And what I mean by that is this. Let's ride out his term. And while we're riding out his term, let's sit down and really say, okay, let's put together something like the Green Party or something and come together with forces that we could say, okay, remove the Democrats and the Republicans from the powerful seats they have. And then we should wake up people like Bernie Sanders and say, instead of throwing your influence to the Democratic Party, which is part of the problem, why don't you take that and put in an independent or a Green Party, a party that is about changing the system. Because if we focus on just removing Donald Trump, then we're going to get back the same system that created a Donald Trump.
Nobody's just saying focus on removing Donald Trump as the only thing we do. We just got through a series of conversations talking about building and rebuilding communities, reorganizing our approaches to community organizing, coming up with new ways of doing things in order to assure our survival. But in the meantime, Donald Trump is a problem. And he has to be
a problem that America created. And it's a problem
But understand the question, the issue that we try to get at here. It is not about Donald Trump, the person. It is Donald Trump in his capacity as president. For which
I understand that, Beatrice. I know that's what I'm talking about, too.
Yes, but in his capacity as president, he's terrifying a lot of people and giving the world community of nations the impression that he does not know. He is not prepared. But we got to go. Thank you so much, everyone, for contributing some meaning to this day. Have yourselves a great weekend, and we'll see each other on Monday. Thanks so much, Yvette.